This is The Synthetic Lens. I'm David Carver. Today's episode has a deliberately blunt title. Trump got the photo op, Xi got the fine print.
Because the Beijing summit was not just a handshake story. It was a two-readout story.
One version says President Trump came home from China with warm words, commercial wins, and a claim that the relationship is back on track. The other version says President Xi Jinping used the same summit to define the terms of the relationship, strategic stability, bounded competition, and Taiwan as the danger.
And that matters because in great power diplomacy, the photo op is the visible part. The fine print is where the leverage lives. Here is what we know. On May 14th, Xi hosted Trump at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. The Chinese official readout describes the full state visit choreography. Honor guards, national anthems, a 21-gun salute, a review of the People's Liberation Army Guard of Honor, and formal talks between the two presidents.
It was designed to look historic, and both leaders had reasons to want that. Trump wanted a visible win after months of pressure from tariffs, inflation, the Iran war, energy prices, and a global economy looking for signals. Xi wanted the world to see China treated as an equal pole in the international system.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry readout gives us the clearest view of Beijing's intended frame. Xi opened by saying the world is undergoing a transformation not seen in a century. He asked whether China and the United States can overcome the Thucydides trap and create a new paradigm of major country relations.
That phrase matters. The Thucydides trap is the idea that a rising power and an established power can be pulled toward conflict by fear, ambition, and structural rivalry. Xi was not just making small talk. He was saying, China is rising, the United States has to deal with that reality, and the relationship needs rules that prevent direct collision.
Then came the phrase Beijing once remembered, constructive strategic stability.
In the Chinese readout, Xi says he and Trump agreed on a new vision of building a constructive China-U.S. relationship of strategic stability. He defines it as cooperation as the mainstay, competition within proper limits, manageable differences, and expectable peace.
That sounds soft. It is not. It is a proposed operating system for U.S.-China competition. Beijing is saying, compete, but inside boundaries. Disagree, but keep the relationship stable. Manage conflict, but do not let it spill into policies China sees as existential.
And then Xi named the issue he considers existential, Taiwan.
The Chinese readout says Xi told Trump the Taiwan question is the most important issue in China-U.S. relations. If handled properly, the relationship can stay stable. If not, the two countries could have clashes, even conflict, putting the entire relationship in great jeopardy.
That is the fine print. The summit was not only about Boeing orders or soybeans or friendly words. It was about Beijing trying to attach a warning label to the entire relationship. If Washington crosses China's Taiwan lines, the rest of the relationship is at risk.
The U.S. public presentation looked different. Trump praised Xi. According to the Chinese readout, Trump called Xi a great leader and China a great country. He said the meeting was the biggest summit the world was watching. On the flight home, reporting from AP and PBS says Trump described the trip as a victory and said China would buy 200 Boeing aircraft, maybe more if the deal expands.
Boeing later confirmed the 200-plane order, according to AP reporting carried by OPB, but the company did not specify the aircraft types or full terms. Trump also said American farmers would be happy because China would buy billions of dollars of soybeans.
So yes, there were commercial deliverables. Boeing matters, agriculture matters, but the public record is much thinner than the staging. We do not have a sweeping tariff rollback. We do not have a public, comprehensive rare earths settlement. We do not have a formal Taiwan deal. We do not have a major announced AI chip settlement. We have a detente, not a reset.
Council on Foreign Relations President Michael Froman put it sharply. Expectations were low and met. His phrase was that the two sides are officially not fighting, which is better than the alternative.
And that may be the honest headline. Not peace, not a grand bargain, not a new era. A temporary structure for not fighting.
Let's break down the main pieces. First, trade. Trump wanted wins he could explain. Planes, soybeans, energy, investment. CFR's Daily Brief says Trump told Fox News China planned to buy 200 Boeing planes. OPB's Associated Press report says Boeing confirmed the 200-plane order and called it a reopening of the China market. Trump also floated the possibility that China could buy as many as 750 aircraft if things go well.
But here is the caveat. Bonnie Glazer, quoted in the AP report carried by OPB, said there was little concrete public information about trade agreements from the summit beyond what Trump told the world China had agreed to.
That does not mean nothing happened. It means the episode should not treat every claimed purchase as a completed structural deal. A Boeing order is concrete enough to report. The broader promise of billions in soybeans, energy products, and investment is softer until there are terms, timelines, and Chinese confirmation.
Second, Taiwan. This is where the readout gap is most important. Chinese officials put Taiwan at the center. Xi said Taiwan is the most important issue. Rubio told NBC, according to CFR summary, that U.S. policy toward Taiwan is unchanged. Taiwan's foreign ministry thanked Washington for support. Trump told reporters he talked a lot about Taiwan with Xi and that Xi does not want to see a fight for independence because that would be a strong confrontation.
But Trump also reportedly said he made no commitment either way. And that ambiguity is now the story.
The test is not what the summit communique says. The test is what happens next with Taiwan arms sales, security cooperation, and whether Washington slows, reshapes, or approves pending support.
Third, AI and chips. This is the synthetic lens, so this piece matters. CFR reports that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the U.S. and China would set up a protocol to make sure non-state actors do not get access to AI models.
That sounds like AI safety cooperation, but listen to the narrowness. It is about non-state actors getting models. It is not, at least publicly, a broad agreement about state use of AI in cyber operations, autonomous weapons, military planning, surveillance, or industrial espionage.
Around the same time, Reuters reported, cited by CFR, that Washington had cleared sales of NVIDIA H200 chips to roughly 10 Chinese companies, including major technology firms. But CFR also notes no deliveries had happened at the time, and neither leader made a specific chip sales announcement during the trip.
So again, movement, but not settlement. The chip war did not end in Beijing. It got a side channel.
Fourth, rare earths. This is the quiet leverage. CFR's pre-summit expert analysis argued that China's critical minerals dominance gave Beijing confidence going into the meeting. Rare earths and magnets are not just industrial inputs. They are leverage over defense systems, electric vehicles, semiconductors, wind turbines, and advanced manufacturing.
The public summit record does not show a comprehensive rare earths breakthrough, which means the important fact may be the absence of one. If China keeps the ability to throttle supply while the United States tries to build alternatives, rare earths remain part of the background pressure system behind every trade conversation.
Fifth, Iran and Hormuz. This is where the summit becomes global. CFR's wrap-up says Trump and Xi discussed Iran and that Trump said both leaders felt very similar about how the war should end. Frommann's CFR analysis says the two sides reached a mutual understanding that Iran can never have a nuclear weapon and that the Strait of Hormuz must remain open.
China has a direct interest there. It is a major buyer of oil moving through the strait. The United States wants freedom of navigation and pressure on Iran. China wants energy flows and regional stability, but not necessarily a U.S.-led coercive framework.
That makes Iran one of the few areas where the two powers can share a practical interest without sharing a worldview.
Sixth, Ukraine and the Korean Peninsula. The Chinese readout says the two presidents exchanged views on major international and regional issues, including the Middle East, Ukraine, and the Korean Peninsula. That is diplomatic language, not evidence of a breakthrough. It tells us these issues were on the agenda. It does not tell us China changed its posture toward Russia or North Korea.
This is the pattern of the summit. A lot of topics, carefully managed language, few hard public commitments.
Which brings us to the biggest question. Who got more out of it?
Trump got the photo op. He got the state visit imagery. He got Boeing. He got a trade win narrative. He got to say the relationship is improving. He got to present himself as the only person who can sit across from Xi and cut through the noise.
Xi got something less visible, but maybe more important. He got the United States to participate in a summit framed around strategic stability. He got Taiwan named as the central danger point in China's official story of the meeting. He got the optics of equality. He got time.
And time is not neutral. Time lets China continue building technological autonomy, hardening supply chains, deepening critical mineral leverage, and testing how much Washington wants stability versus confrontation.
But there is a trap in overreading this, too. The summit did not mean China won everything. It did not mean Trump conceded Taiwan. It did not mean the chip controls disappeared. It did not mean rare earths are solved. It did not mean the U.S. and China are friends.
It means both governments decided that, for now, they prefer a managed pause over an uncontrolled spiral.
That is real. It is also fragile.
The most clickbaity version of this episode is, did Xi play Trump? The more accurate version is more interesting. Xi tried to turn Trump's hunger for visible deals into a framework for managed competition. Trump tried to turn Xi's need for stability into commercial wins. Both leaders got something. Neither side solved the relationship.
The next test is Taiwan.
The test after that is chips.
And the test underneath all of it is whether strategic stability means mutual restraint or whether it becomes a polite phrase for accepting China's red lines while postponing America's hard choices. Research note: for this episode, we reviewed the Chinese Foreign Ministry's official readout of the Xi-Trump talks, CFR's summit wrap-up and expert analyses, Associated Press reporting carried by PBS and OPB, AP-linked coverage of the Boeing order and Taiwan posture, and reporting summaries on AI chips, agriculture, Iran, Hormuz, and the summit's diverging readouts. The strongest primary source was the Chinese official readout. The strongest independent synthesis came from CFR and AP-based reporting. We found confirmed evidence for the state visit, the Chinese strategic stability frame, Xi's Taiwan warning, Boeing's 200-plane order, and reported discussions of AI, Iran, Ukraine, and the Korean Peninsula. We did not find public evidence of a sweeping tariff rollback, a formal Taiwan bargain, a comprehensive rare earth settlement, or a final AI chip export control deal. For the Synthetic Lens, I'm David Carver. The summit gave us a picture. The fine print is what comes next.